Will you bow your heads with me as we approach God? Gracious, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, though the world may seem upside down at times, though our lives may seem upside down, you are still on your throne. So we reach out to you today and we ask you to speak, and we promise to listen. We ask you, Lord, to be glorified, and we to be humbled. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you all look nice and bundled up today. Thank you for doing that. We will be working to get the heat on soon. I probably should have been preaching about the Holy Spirit's fire this morning, but hopefully he will show up and warm us all. I sat on the floor, rubbing my temples. Everything splayed out in front of me in chaotic disarray. And Jeanette asks, "Do you want to look at this again?" "No, I don't," I said emphatically. "But I guess we have to." And I grabbed the instructions from her. What had me so vexed that day? What had me at my wit's end with frustration? We had bought some sort of cabinet or furniture, and it came with the three dreaded words on it. You've probably seen these words before: "Some assembly required," which is the equivalent of putting on the package, "Pastor Michael is going to pull his hair out before this project is finished." But that's too long to fit, so they just go with "some assembly required." Instruction manuals. Whether it's for furniture or appliances or even toys, they just drive me nuts. Because most times I need an instruction manual for the instruction manual. So is there anyone here who just, when you get something like this, you can just, you've been blessed by God, you can just take the instruction manual and toss it aside, look at everything, and you can just put it together all on your own? Can you do that? Raise your hands up. Raise them up. Keep them up. Okay, quick, Jeanette, grab a piece of paper and pen. Write down everyone's name. The next time you have a home improvement project, we will call these people. Oh, I need instructions. And even with them, I'm lost most of the time. But I need instructions in how to build something. But do we need an instruction manual for how to live the Christian life? Last month, we talked about the importance of discipleship and God's call to discipleship. And last week, we started a new sermon series on prayer. And last time we were together, we discussed the importance of why we pray. And I'm reminded of that again this morning, because as I was sitting up here worshiping with you, I watched an answered prayer come in through the back of the church. And I see her in the back. "Morgan, it is good to see you. I prayed for Morgan Mead years ago down in Kansas City when she was at Children's Mercy. And I didn't know what the future held for Morgan and her family. But I praise the Lord that God holds the future. And it is good to see you here with us today." Prayer is important. But today we're going to talk about and try to learn how we should pray. It's one thing to say it's important. It's another thing to know, how should we do it? Now, when I picture Jesus, I picture him as the greatest teacher the world has ever heard. That's how I picture Christ. But if you could ask Jesus to teach you something, or just one thing, what would it be? Have you ever thought of that? What would you ask Jesus? If he could reveal to you, teach you just one thing, what would you ask him? Would you ask him to share for you the secrets of the cosmos and what's out there? Or maybe you'd ask Jesus to teach you to be a more loving person. Or are you curious about the future and you say, "Jesus, please just teach me about what is coming up next. Teach me about the end of time." Well, if you have your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to open them up, or if you have your electronic one, I want you to click it on. Hopefully you have enough battery power. and turn to, or click to, Luke chapter 11. And let's look at what the disciples asked Jesus. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Gospel of Luke chapter 11 verse 1, and it reads like this. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, the disciples asked Jesus lots of questions in the Bible. And I'm sure that there are tons of questions that they asked that are not even recorded in Scripture. But I think this is probably the most important thing they ever asked Jesus. Teach us how to pray. Because it's prayer that is our connection with God. Look at chapter 11, verse 9. Jesus says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Jesus tells us that our prayer life is crucial to our life itself, because a strong connection with God through prayer will make us more loving. Amen? It will reveal to us things that we've never even dreamed about our world and the cosmos. And if we spend time listening to God, He will reveal His will both for today and for the future. Prayer is powerful. So with that as a backdrop, is there anything more important in our walk with God than learning how to pray? So the gut question this morning for me and for you is, how's your prayer life? Is it strong? Could it be stronger? Is your prayer time just an afterthought to your day? Perhaps this morning we should ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, let's ask Him and let's see if He'll teach us. We're going to learn some basics from Jesus on how to pray. If you turn with me to Matthew now, Matthew chapter 6 is a parallel to Luke 11, but something I want you to see here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So Jesus says, take time to have private prayer. One-on-one time with just you and God. Now, is that time hard to come by? In this fast-paced society that we have, go here, do that, get it done. He's not given any one of us another hour in the day, is He? So do we have time? Do we take time? There are important things that happen throughout the day that can crowd out your prayer life. But do not let the important crowd out the critical. Because our prayer time with God is crucial for all of us. Jesus Himself spent hours alone with God in prayer. Now, if the Son of God needed that private prayer time, how much more do you and I need that time? Let's learn some more from Jesus on how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Jesus says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Jesus just says to you and I, when you pray, say what you mean. You don't have to repeat it over and over again. Just say what you mean. When you pray, do you fall into cliches sometimes? When you're praying, I know I do. Please bless so-and-so. What does that mean? Please be with my family. Jesus already prayed for the Holy Spirit to be with us. But I do that sometimes. I just kind of fall back into what's a routine. Just bless them. But Jesus wants us to pray specific prayers. Because how will we know if God answered if we only pray a blanket prayer blessing in our prayers. The Bible also says to pray what's on your heart. If you turn with me to Psalms now, great book on prayer. Psalm chapter 62. Jesus says, don't worry about having so many words to say what you mean. And in Psalm chapter 62, Jesus gives us more instruction and says to pray what's on your heart. Psalm 62 and verse 8. Trust in Him only when it's going good. Did you get there? Psalm 62 verse 8, what's it say? Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. So we pour out our heart to God, and then we have to listen for a reply. This past week, Pastor Andy and I and many other pastors were down at a retreat at Broken Arrow Ranch. And every morning, our ministerial director planned in the busy day schedule. He said, I want you to spend an hour with God in prayer, one-on-one. And so we did that. We all got our chairs and we went out onto the ranch in different places and just spent time every morning with God in prayer. We read the Bible. We had our hymnals and we read through those and we reflected on the nature around us. And it was just an amazing experience. The first day I began praying about the things that I felt were a disconnect between me and God. The things that I felt were keeping me from a closer walk with God. And I talked to Jesus about my sin and wanting to be freed from it. And then somehow, I can't explain it, was completely unplanned, I ended up in Psalm 121. It's not my favorite psalm. I just happened to hit there. But I want you to see something in it. Psalm 121, if you'll turn there. In fact, the day before, if you'd have said, what's in Psalm 121, I would have said, oh, something good, I'm sure. But I read it this morning, and it changed not just my day, but my life. Because I was praying about my sin, and then I read through this, and I got to verse 7 and 8. And it said, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. The Lord shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I read that, and then I froze. And then I said, God, did you just answer me? And I read it again. Preserve you from all evil. That's not just the evil out there in the world, but the evil that resides in my own heart. And it's not just help and forgiveness for today, but it says from this time forevermore. I read it again. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. I said, God's not going to, He's not going to help me just tomorrow. He's not going to cleanse me next year, but right now and forever. I said, whoa, God. Have you ever said that to God before when He talks to you? Whoa. I said, God, I'm going to claim that promise right now. The sins I've prayed about, you are going to take care of them. From here on out, forevermore. When you pray, when we pray, get ready for God to work and to respond. But we have to take the time. Every Christian I talk to will agree that prayer is crucial. You'd all nod your head, yes. But then when I talk to Christians about their prayer life, they also admit it could be better. How do we keep our prayer life on fire? Keep it from fading. Well, friends, there's not just one method that works for everyone. But I want to just share some ideas with you, some how-to ideas of how to increase your prayer life this morning. And the first counsel I want you to hear is the counsel from Jesus. So if you'll turn back with me now to Matthew chapter 6, let's see what Jesus says when He was asked to teach Him to pray. So Matthew 6, we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. Verses you know well, maybe you've got them memorized. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. He says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." So what is Jesus' focus when he begins? What's his focus? It's the whole focus is on God when he begins. On fire prayers begin with a focus on God. How many times do our prayers begin to focus on me first? Does that happen? Or is it just me? Do our prayers morph into just giving God instructions on what we think he should do for the day? Instead of just coming before him, saying, "God, here I am, reporting for duty." Secondly, after we've focused on God, verse 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." So then we bring our concerns to God after focusing on him. Our conference ministerial director, Virgil Koval, shared with us how when he talks to God about a concern, he'll share it before him and then he'll say, "God, what do you think about this situation?" And then he'll stop and he'll listen. Or he'll, in his prayer time, he'll say, "Father, I've been concerned about this and I'm thinking about handling this situation in this way. What do you think about that?" And I was just moved by his closeness with God and just asking God, I'm planning to do it this way, but what do you think? I want to hear what God thinks before I act. And he listens for God to respond. Listening for God to guard us, to guide his heart and his mind. Now, some people need a pattern to get into the groove of praying. And maybe if you're like, "I'm not exactly sure even how to get started in praying," you might use this type of prayer. It's called the ACTS prayer. It's an acronym, ACTS. What is it? Well, it's very simple. You begin with A, adoration, focusing on God. Praising him for who he is, for what he's done, and for what he's going to do. So that's A, and then Acts. Next comes C, and that's confession. And confession is simply being real with God. Name your mistakes before him. No excuses. If you're praying with God and you say, "Lord, this happened and I'm sorry, but," that's not confession. If you're talking to someone that you know and love or that you work with and you say, "I'm sorry, but," that's not a confession. That's an explanation. And whatever happens after it removes "I'm sorry" at the beginning of it. So just come before God and be real. Pastor Jerry Connell mentioned to us this week, he said, when you come to God, if you can name your dragons, you can tame your dragons. But if you can't name them, they will eat you. So be real before God and name your dragons. And then claim God's promise. In the Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess, what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Not just forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's A and C. Next comes T, and that's thanksgiving. We have to remember to thank God for his many blessings, for forgiveness, and for that restored relationship. So thank him. And then the last one is S. That's the final part of the prayer, and that's your fancy word, supplication, which just means taking your concerns to God. These are our requests. And God tells us, he says, bring me your requests, bring me your concerns, bring me your worries and your needs. He wants all those things, but he knows that our prayers will be more powerful if we get in the right order and we start focused on God and we have a thankful heart. Then when we bring these concerns to God, he says, now you'll be ready for me to work. So acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving and supplication. Now, friends, there's one more big thing that can happen, a danger that I want to talk to you about that can stop your prayer life. You know what this danger is? It's probably the number one thing. Well, yes, sin will do it. That's right. But there's another thing that just happens, and it happens when you don't even realize it's there. It's one of the most dangerous things to ending a prayer life. It is boredom. And boredom will end your prayer life. How many of you continue to do something that you find boring? You know, you may be forced to do it, but you don't continue to do it voluntarily. So have you become bored with your prayer life and your devotion time? Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 says that many of us have left your first love. We were in love with God. We were on fire, but over time, what has happened? We got bored somehow. Now, friends, it's nice to have routine. It's great to have structure until that leads to your prayer life getting stuck in a rut. Now, to explain how this happens, I'm going to use a little illustration. You may have heard me do this before, but I like it, so I'm going to do it again until you've got it memorized. So to explain to you how our prayer life can get boring, we're going to use your favorite thing ever in church, congregation participation. And today, I have a willing couple that's going to help me. Pastor Chaz and Mandy, would you come up here and help me? This is Pastor Chaz. He's one of our student pastors, and his friend Mandy, who I know years ago was thinking, who could I start dating that would help ensure that I get to help out preach a sermon at Piedmont Park? Well, you chose the right fella, let me tell you, Mandy, because you're going to get to help today, all right? Let's see. Is there a microphone down here somewhere? Where did it go? Are you hiding it, Beth? Thank you. All right. Well, you guys how long have you been dating? Can I ask that question?
Over 5 years.
You notice how smart this guy is? Handed the microphone over to her. He's sharp. Now, so let's see if you guys can help me with this next illustration, okay? Let's say that tonight, after the sun goes down, Mandy, Chaz calls you up and says, let's go on a date. That'd be good, right? You'd be all right with that, okay? And he says, I'm going to take you out. Now, what do you have a favorite restaurant here in Lincoln?
Favorite.
Well, one that you
Blue
like.
Orchid.
Blue Orchid. Okay, is that a good one? Okay, the Blue Orchid. He says, I'm going to take you to the Blue Orchid. And you said, yay. So you get all dustied up and everything set just right. And then he comes and picks you up and you get in the car. And do you have a favorite flower?
What? Daisies.
Daisies. There is a batch of daisies waiting there in the car. How's he doing so far?
Good.
He's doing good. Okay, then he drives you to the Blue Orchid. And then do you have a favorite dish there at the Blue Orchid? One.
Drunken noodle,
okay.
There's no alcohol in that.
There's no alcohol in it, but it is covered in sauce is what that means, okay? So he orders that for you, and then when it's done, he takes you on a horse-drawn carriage ride around Lincoln. Now, how's he doing, Mandy?
It's a little cold.
Well, there's like a heater in the carriage, okay? All right, so how's he doing? Is he done good tonight?
Yeah.
All right, you should really be writing this down somewhere.
Oh, this is a common occurrence.
Oh, every week. Okay, well, so he takes you home. He did good. All right, well, next, we're going to fast forward. The next Saturday comes. Chaz calls you up, says, let's go out. Yes, and so you get all dressed up again and everything, and you get in the car, and sure enough, there's a thing full of daisies. And he drives you to the Blue Orchid and orders for you drunken noodles. And then takes you on another horse-drawn carriage ride around Lincoln. How's he doing now, Mandy?
Pretty good.
It's still pretty good. Yeah, it's all right. Next week goes by. Saturday night, sun goes down. He gives you a call, says, would you like to go out again? And you, of course, say, you bet. And so you're getting dressed up, and you're, oh, it's going to be great. We're going to go somewhere else, I'm pretty sure, tonight. And you get in the car, and sure enough, there in the car is a batch of daisies again. And Chaz starts driving off, and wait a second. We've been this way, but and yeah, he takes you to the Blue Orchid again. Orders you drunken noodles one more time, and After you eat that dish, you go off to, there's the horse and carriage ride again. Okay, how's he doing now?
Good.
Still good. Still good. You're still like, this is all right. But is it as good as it was the first time?
No.
Now, what if the next Saturday came and he called you up and said, you want to go out again? Would you maybe say, where are we going to go? Would you maybe like something different? Yeah. How many of us in our prayer life with God, even though it's our favorite restaurant, favorite meal, favorite flower, after a time it's like, can we eat at Taco Bell just so it'll be different? Sometimes we like something new. Well, thank you guys for helping with me, and we'll see you tonight at the Blue Orchid. How many of us do that with God? Same thing, day in and day out, and we say, oh, God, I'm kind of bored with my prayer life. I wonder if God is bored with it too. It's all right to have a routine, and if it helps you, great, but if you find yourself bored, you need to change things up. If you typically pray while on your knees with your eyes closed like this, it's time to change. Get up and one time pray with your eyes open, walking around. If you always pray sitting down, try praying lying down, flat on your face. Some people did that before God in the Bible. Or try praying laying down, looking up at the clouds or up at the stars and see how God speaks to you then. Or the next time it's a summer hot thunderstorm and the rain's coming down, go out and stand in the rain. Get your parents' permission first. Go stand in the rain and just let the thunder go all around you, and then talk to God about his power and majesty. Find ways to keep your relationship with God exciting. Don't keep having the same date with God day in and day out. You will get bored. And friends, as we've talked a lot about private time, I don't want to forget about family prayer time too. It's important to pray with others. I don't know about your home, but in our home, mornings are crazy. It is all we can do to get everybody up and the right clothes on everybody and food in tummies and out the door. But we decided in the craziness of the morning that we're going to stop before we head out the door, and we're going to gather together and we're going to pray as a family. It doesn't take long, but it makes a difference. If you've got kids at home, before you put them to bed, read a devotion with them. Share something with them from God. So they begin their day and they end their day with God. Friday nights for us, we've chosen as a special family worship time for us. And so we get together, we worship. The kids get to pick the songs. We have activities sometimes. A new thing we added, you might want to add to your family prayer time, is we'll just stop after the singing, before the reading, we'll say, what does everybody love about each other? So Johanna will say, okay, what does everybody love about Mommy? And then we'll each take a turn just saying one thing that we love about Jeanette. What does everybody love about Ethan? And then we'll take our turns sharing what we love, and we'll go around. And then one thing I've added to that is, this week, what does everybody love about God? Because he's part of our family. It's just simple, but the simple things can be powerful. My friends, learning how to pray will keep us praying, keep our prayer time alive. And in these years of ministry, I have seen some families grow strong in God, and I've seen others struggle. And I've seen some kids, as they've grown older, walk away. And nothing breaks your heart more than that. So I spoke to one pastor a few years ago. Both of his boys, I saw them as they were growing up, and now they're all grown up, and as they're grown up now, they're still committed to Christ. They're still committed to the church and the mission of the church. They graduated from college. They're both in the ministry now. So I asked this pastor, how'd you do it? How did so many kids today have a hard time, and too many pastors' kids leave the church? So how did you keep your boys so committed? And he said, there's nothing magical. We just did family worship all the time, and we made it a priority. will you make prayer a priority in your life? Because if we will, things will change. Our families will change. Our work relationships will change. Our church will change. Amen? And maybe our world can change too. Because Jesus said through James in chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have, why? Because you do not ask. You do not have because you do not ask. If you want a deeper walk with God, Jesus says all you have to do is ask. And there's nothing more important in our walk with God than our prayer time and our devotion time. Will you ask Jesus today, Lord, teach us to pray? Because if we will spend time with Him, if we will ask, Jesus will answer. Dear Jesus, Lord, we come before you now. And I don't dare to assume everything that's going on in everyone's life. But I know everyone here, either standing or sitting, needs you. And we all need a deeper walk with you, Lord. So inspire us and encourage us of the importance of prayer and how you want to just spend time with us each and every day. And then, Lord, help us to give it a try till we find something that works. And Lord, help us to come before you and ask, because you are waiting and willing and able to answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.